Chapter 18. Even young dragons like Ralph have powerful wings that can carry them at great speeds. Although the Purple Mountains were many miles from the Enchanted Forest, it wasn't long before Ralph was following the contours of the foothills and skimming the mountainsides. Angling into a valley pocked with caves, he suddenly darted into a larger opening. The cave narrowed at the back, forming a long, smooth-sided tunnel. It was dark and gloomy inside, and I couldn't imagine how Ralph could see well enough to fly. However, the deeper we went, the better I understood why his grandfather lived there. Great patches of lichen grew on the walls, glowing like witches' lights. Delicate crystalline flowers bloomed on the walls and floors. We passed through larger caves where columns of multicolored rock rose from the floor to the ceilings high above. I saw solid rock that looked like flowing water and clear pools of water that seemed to be bottomless. It was cooler than it had been above ground, but not uncomfortable. We began to smell a pungent odor soon after we entered the first tunnel. The deeper we went, the stronger the smell became, until the air seemed thick with it. The tunnels branched occasionally, and a few of the passages belched hot air. I was happy when Ralph passed those by. "When we get there," whispered Edric, "I'll look around in case we have to get out fast. You can't trust dragons, and we may have to escape if the situation turns bad. Whatever you do, don't sneeze." My fingers were growing numb from clutching Ralph's ridge when we finally entered a chamber larger than any others.
"This is Grandpa's treasure room," said the little dragon as he landed on the floor. "He spends most of his time here."
Edric immediately hopped down, while I took my time and looked about from my elevated vantage point. Pink and white striped columns seemed to hold up the ceiling, while squat cones rising from the floor glistened with dripping moisture. All kinds of objects were stacked one on the other in tottering piles. Some, like the enormous mounds of precious stones, were glittering and obviously valuable. I wasn't so sure about others, like the old shoes and stacks of yellowing parchment. A low-voiced murmur ran through the cave.
"You should go over here, although maybe you're more pink than red. Where did I put that other one? I thought I had 6 of these."
"Grandpa likes to sort his treasures in different ways. Sometimes he does it by size, sometimes by shape, or..."
"Who dares enter my cave?"
boomed a voice so loud that the piles shook and small objects clattered to the floor. What I had thought was a mound of golden treasure wasn't treasure at all. It was an enormous dragon.
"It's me, Grandpa. It's Ralph. I've come to visit you, and I've brought 2 of my friends."
"Ralphie, my boy, come over here where I can see you," said his grandfather.
Wishing I had gotten off sooner, I clung to the ridge on the back of Ralph's neck as he flapped his wings and skimmed over the treasure. My heart thudded wildly. The nearer we got to Ralph's grandfather, the bigger he seemed. The Dragon King was the largest creature I had ever seen. Each of his scales was bigger than a human head and ranged in color from yellow gold on his throat to red gold on his tail. The ridge along his back was tall and spiky, although some of the points had broken off and others were missing altogether. His age was evident from the scarring on his scales, the hair sprouting from his long, pointed ears, and the way his claws were blunted by wear.
"There you are, my boy," said the old dragon, crouching down to peer nearsightedly at his grandson. "But what's that on your back? It's not some kind of parasite, is it? Or have you caught some new disease? Maybe I should find my special ointment."
"No, Grandpa. That's my friend, Emma. Edric is around here, too. They're frogs, Grandpa, and they saved my life."
I scrunched down as low as I could behind Ralph's ridge while he told his grandfather about the spider and our rescue. The little dragon made us sound wonderful, but I held my breath, hoping he wouldn't mention that we were actually humans. The king was so close, his breath nearly blew me off Ralph, and the smell was enough to make my eyes water. Blinking, he bowed down until his snout nearly touched my head. He sniffed me, and I could feel his hot breath dry out my skin. When he sat back, he said,
"You're right. They are frogs. Maybe you and your friends would like to help me. I'm sorting everything by color now. Come see my red treasures. Just don't eat my rose, Ralphie. I know how much you like flowers, but that rose is very special."
The pile of red treasures wasn't large, but it was interesting. A red riding cape lined with a wolf skin had been neatly folded and lay atop a mound of sparkling rubies. A half dozen pairs of dancing shoes shuffled around the pile, while a blooming rose trembled beside a restless magic carpet woven in every imaginable shade of red.
"Very nice, Grandpa," said Ralph. "But Emma and Edric were wondering if you would know of any green dragons."
"Green dragons? Why didn't you say so? Of course I have some green dragons. Would you like to see them?"
"Yes, please," I said, my voice coming out in a little whisper.
The old dragon was frightening even when he wasn't trying to be. But if he actually knew a green dragon and could take me to him, our search might already be over. Turning his enormous bulk, the king of the dragons reached into a mound of emeralds.
Where did I put them?" he muttered to himself, scattering the emeralds beneath his groping claws.
Squinting, he lowered his head so that his nose was only inches from the pile.
"Ah, here they are," he said, holding up two small dragons carved from jade. "Is this what you wanted?"
"No," I said, my disappointment making the word come out more sharply than I'd intended. "Thank you, but we need to find a real green dragon."
The old dragon huffed and dropped the jade figures back onto the pile. "Why didn't you say so? There's no such thing as a real green dragon."
"But they have to be real. You must be mistaken."
"I don't make mistakes, young frog. Kings never do."
I shrank back as the old dragon's nostrils flared and smoke puffed out of his gaping mouth. "I'm sorry, but we have to find a green dragon to break a spell. Spells don't work if they're impossible to break, and this spell has lasted for years."
"Nevertheless, green dragons don't exist. Dragons are red or blue, yellow or purple, black or silver or gold. But in all my years, I have never heard of a green dragon. Now, if you'll excuse me, I was looking for something."
The old dragon turned away, his tail knocking over a small mountain of sapphires.
"I wonder where I put that scarlet pumpernickel," he muttered.
Ralph sat back on his haunches and watched the old dragon go.
"I'm sorry we couldn't help you, Emma."
"It's not your fault. Thanks for trying. It's just that I don't know what we're going to do now. We'll never break the spell if we can't find a green dragon. And if we can't break the spell, the kingdom of Greater Greensward is going to be invaded, and I might have to marry that awful Jorge."
"Don't give up yet," he said. "Why don't you look around while I help my grandpa? We don't have to stay long, but we'll hurt his feelings if we leave too quickly."
The little dragon crouched so I could climb off.
"Come find me if you need anything."
"I was going to ask if your grandfather had a feather from an old horse, but I don't think we need it anymore." "How about some water instead?" I said, rubbing the skin on my back. "Your grandfather's breath dried me out."
"I have something even better," Ralph said.
Leaping into the air, he disappeared behind the stacks, returning a minute later.
"Try this. It's the salve my mother put on me when I was a baby." Little dragons don't have tough skin until they're a year old. This gunk keeps them from getting fried when they're around other dragons.
Ralph's salve was thick and white and smelled kind of minty, like spearmint leaves. Tilting the vial into my hands, Ralph poured out enough to cover me in a thin, sticky layer. It felt cool to the touch, and when I'd smeared it on my skin, I felt cool all over.
Thanks, I said,
wishing that all my problems could be solved so easily. Once I was alone, I started thinking about Grandmother's spell. If there were no green dragons, they couldn't really be part of the cure. My grandmother must have tricked us back on the island, and I'd been foolish enough to believe her. But she'd been so convincing. I was wandering around, not really looking at anything in particular, when I saw something move. A group of mirrors, both ordinary and magic, had been stacked against one another. The mirror closest to me showed an overweight peasant kneeling by a fireplace in a cottage with a sagging roof. I was already turning away when I realized that it was Olafat with his hair cut short and his beard just starting to grow back. I wonder how close Grandmother is to finding him, I murmured to myself. The image blurred, and when it became clearer, I saw Olafat again. He was standing now and appeared to be talking to someone. Although I couldn't hear what he was saying, I could tell from his expression that he was in the midst of an argument. I was watching Olafat gesture with his arms when I noticed that shadows were filling the room behind him. I gasped when they took shape, recognizing my grandmother and the other witches from the retirement community. The old man turned suddenly, but the witches were too fast for him. My grandmother's hand flashed, and Olafat disappeared. In his place cowered a small brown dog with sad eyes, floppy ears, and a white-rimmed muzzle. I jumped when Me Too streaked into view, his hooked beak and claws reaching for my grandmother. She gestured again, and the bird was gone. A moment later, the little dog began to scratch behind his ear with a frenzied kicking of his hind leg. It seemed she'd turned Me Too into a flea. Something clattered on the other side of the mirrors, and the image disappeared. Following the sound of clinking metal, I found Ralph stacking gem-studded cups in the gold pile while Edric ogled a golden helmet. From the way his skin was shining, I could tell Ralph had given him the salve, too. "Are you ready to go yet?" I asked.
"Sure," said the little dragon. "We can go now if you want. I just have to say goodbye to my grandpa."
Setting down the last of the cups, the little dragon left to find the Dragon King.
"Come here," said Edric. "I want to show you something. Just look at the hinged visor on this helmet. I've never seen anything like it before. I could really use this when we hunt for the green dragon."
"There aren't any green dragons, Edric. Didn't you hear the Dragon King? And if there aren't any green dragons, then Olivine must not have told the other witches the real cure. Maybe she was holding back her secrets from Olafat. It's all been a waste of time." I kicked a spindle of gold wool lying on the floor and watched it spin in a circle. "We might as well go home and tell Grisina. You don't suppose there's any chance that she'll give up and help my parents now, do you?"
"I don't think so," said Edric. "From the way she acted before, I think she'd fall to pieces if she thought she couldn't get Haywood back. But I don't think you should give up just yet. The old witch's memories seem to think it was possible. Wouldn't they know if green dragons were real or not? And just because the king says that there aren't any green dragons doesn't mean that it's true. He's half blind and spends most of his time in a cave. I think we should keep looking. There has to be at least one green dragon somewhere."
Ralph was still talking to his grandfather when we found him.
"Thanks, Grandpa. We'll be going now."
"You're welcome, Ralphie. Come back any time."
The Dragon King smiled a toothy grin that showed off his fangs. I flinched, and Edric put his arm around my shoulder in a protective sort of way. The old dragon lowered his head to look at us. Pointing with one gnarled claw, he said,
"Those two belong in my green pile. What are they doing over there?"
"They're my friends, Grandpa. They're with me."
"Then you better take them out of here. I'm working on my green pile next."
"You heard the king. Climb aboard, you two."
Ralph squatted down and extended his wing.
"There's someone I want you to meet."
"Is it another dragon?" Edric asked, helping me onto the little dragon's back.
"Nope, but he's a friend of my grandpa's. His name is Shirley, and I think he can help you with something." "Hold on tight," said Ralph, spreading his wings. "Here we go."
A current of hot air buffeted us as we headed up the tunnel. I held onto Ralph's ridge so tightly that my hands hurt. "Where does Shirley live?" I asked the little dragon.
"On the highest peak of the Purple Mountains. He's a nice old guy, just a little deaf."
I closed my eyes and sighed. If only we could go home now and didn't have to worry about war or magic spells. If only I knew that I'd never have to marry Jorge.